This is UN Gender, The Year Ahead, a program that looks into some of the major stories and issues we expect to make headlines in 2016. I'm Veronica Reeves. Coming up, the situation of women in Pakistan is described as alarming, and the push is on in the Philippines to make cities safer for women. But first, the value of women's unpaid work deserves greater recognition in societies around the world. That's one of the findings of the UN's latest Human Development Report, which, among other things, highlights how women's contributions can help improve our quality of life, both now and in the future. I spoke with Shantanu Mukherjee from the United Nations Development Program to find out why it's important for societies to acknowledge women's unpaid contributions.
Well, there's a very interesting paradox, if you like, about unpaid work. On the one hand, it is essential for society to move ahead, for people to prosper, in fact, for people to be able to be engaged in paid work. You cannot imagine a situation where children are not looked after at home, or the house is not tended to, or the elderly or the sick are not cared for. That is not a healthy, well-functioning society. And clearly, everyone in society would agree that it's important that these jobs be done. They're beneficial to society and to the future generation. On the other hand, when there is a kind of expectation that only women should do this work, then it limits the opportunities they have and the choices they can make for things that are more fulfilling.
And when we talk about unpaid work, we're talking about work at home, caring for children, the elderly, looking after the home itself. How does it influence women's choices in terms of what they pursue outside of the home, given the expectation that these are traditionally recognized as being women's work?
Because these jobs are essential, we find that they tend to be prioritized over other activities that women could do. And they really cut into the time that women have to engage in other forms of work. Some of this other work may itself be unpaid in the sense of taking children for a health checkup, let us say. But because the priority is in looking after the home, these other work falls by the wayside. And even more importantly for us, women have a very positive economic impact with the work outside the home and are entrepreneurs and so on. We find that women are unable to avail of these opportunities due to the burden of unpaid work in the home.
Beyond recognizing and acknowledging these contributions, which are largely unpaid, what would you like to see in terms of society promoting all aspects of women and their contributions, paid and unpaid?
One factor simply is that even in the paid workforce, women tend to be systematically underrepresented at senior levels of work. On average, they tend to earn less for even the same kinds of work. And they're often in and out of the workforce far more than men are, which eats away at their potential to grow and develop professionally.
The situation of women in Pakistan is quite alarming, according to the head of the United Nations Development Office in the country. The UN is working to advocate for women's rights and empowerment, saying ensuring greater equality of women will be critical for Pakistan's development. Mark Andre Franch is the head of the UN Development Program's office there. Daniel Dickinson asked him how the immediate future looks for Pakistani women.
The situation of women in Pakistan is quite alarming in many, many ways. This is reflected in all and every indicator in terms of access to education, in terms of health, in terms of economic opportunities. There is, of course, a cultural aspect to the challenge, but as it is often the case, it's also a situation of power. It's the power holders, men, who do not want to let go, and often they use cultural excuses to maintain these power structures. The UN is working very hard to advocate for women's rights, for women empowerment, and it's clear that the problem resides in men. And so it is our duty and our work to continue working at raising the alarm. But it's also clear that there's a very practical reason to empower women. If you want to grow, no country in the world has become developed without empowering and ensuring greater equality of women.
And how is the UN doing that?
Well, we do it in various ways. I mean, on the one hand, we do quite a bit of advocacy across the board: education, maternal health, economic empowerment, rights, access to justice. UNDP in particular, for example, works very closely at raising the access to justice of women. But we also have very specific projects and programs that address this: creating employment for women, ensuring that women are represented and supported in parliament, supporting women as candidates for elections. So the UN is quite involved in Pakistan.
How serious a problem is gender violence?
Gender violence is a tremendous problem and challenge in Pakistan. On the one hand, there is, of course, the direct violence against women, but there is also, of course, all the daily domestic exclusions and all other forms of violence. It is very difficult to pinpoint a number because it is severely underreported. And it's very difficult for women who are victims of violence to report it. And in the cultural context of Pakistan, it is also often the woman who does report it gets punished by her own family. So it is going to take a lot of time and a lot of effort. But especially this will only happen if both the government take this a lot more seriously and that women organize better as well.
One suburb of the Filipino capital, Manila, is trying to confront the issue of violence against women using a novel form of community patrolling. Women's safety audits are a participatory tool being piloted as part of the UN Women Safe Cities Initiative. The idea is to discourage physical or sexual violence against women and girls by empowering concerned citizens to patrol their own neighborhoods and come up with solutions to make them safer. Matthew Wells has been looking at how it's working so far in Quezon City.
Nighttime in the often dark and chaotic streets of Quezon City. An astonishing one in three women worldwide has experienced physical or sexual violence, mainly at the hands of someone they know well, according to UN Women. Here it's no different. Chi Lego Valido is an advocacy specialist at the Forum for Family Planning and Development here in the Philippines.
There's so much focus on experiences of violence on a domestic front, but women experience harassment, violence on a daily basis from all fronts in public spaces.
A few years ago, to try and make life safer in places like this, the UN launched a twin-track initiative. First, encourage changes to local laws and policies to lower violence in public spaces. Second, change attitudes to make it unacceptable to attack women and girls. Catherine Bellin is National Project Officer for UN Women's Safe Cities in Quezon City.
Women's Safety Audits is a participatory tool that brings together people from the community to walk around their neighborhoods, walk around the public spaces, like around the schools, streets near their homes, parks, and public markets. They evaluate how safe they feel and then they identify ways to make it safer. The Women's Safety Audits is a key methodology that is being used by UN Women's Safe Cities Global Initiative.
But attitudes, especially when it comes to male abusers, are proving hard to change. Anita Cuateros Abasola is a resident in one of the areas where they've been collecting information about harassment.
When I became the community president, I worked on the case of a man who harassed a woman in the street. When she didn't give her number, he kissed the girl.
The scoping study, as it's known, recently ended, and it's clear women often don't report incidents out of fear. It's also clear that more data is needed in the year ahead to convince more locals to make streets safer. But political support is growing. Aldrin Kuna is city administrator for the area.
What I like about this project with the UN Women is that we are now reviewing our current local policy and updating it to make it more attuned to the times and making public sexual harassment also a crime that should be penalized.
So Quezon City's promised to introduce better laws to protect women in public spaces. And with 23 other cities around the world joining in the UN initiative, women and girls just may face a safer future on streets like these. Matthew Wells, United Nations.
And that's our UN Gender Program from United Nations Radio. I'm Veronica Reeves, and wherever you are listening, we here in New York are wishing you a safe and joyous start to the new year.